Praise the Lord. Welcome home. All that you, when you came in, you were tired and weary. Welcome home. It's just not for those who aren't home. It's for us too, right? I love that song. I like that guy that sings it. He just, you know, what makes a song is what you put into it. And they are so excited. It gets people excited. The people dance and jump, carry on, you know, and which is good. That's a good thing. But if you just have somebody up there just sitting there doing nothing but mouthing words, it doesn't go anywhere. And I just love these videos just because they charge me. They get me going. And I think we all need that, don't you? On a continual basis, not just every now and then. Do you have that up there? I want to show you this bulletin front for this Sunday. I said to God, I need, what do you want me to put on for the bulletin front? And he said, the last stand. Excuse me. So, you know, I looked up pictures, and that's what I found. Watchmen, it says, stand up and blow in the trumpet, for the great and terrible day of the Lord draws near. We need to understand that we are working in the end time. And if you've noticed, the bulletin fronts always go along with exactly what God is doing for the week. And he's the one that tells me what to put. I don't do it myself because I can't get a good one. But whenever he said the last stand, I said, wow, what's this going to be? And the back is about repenting. It's all about telling the people they need to get their act together. Plain English, get your act together. Quit setting the house of God vacillating back and forth. Well, today I'll be saved. Tomorrow I won't be saved. Well, today I believe God. Well, tomorrow I don't believe God. You know, we have to stand on the word. Aaron and I and Adriana have a word. We say all is well. We always, if one of us asks a question, we say all is well. You know, because the mother, her son was dead. And the husband said, is there a problem? She said, all is well. She had a dead son. But all is well. So why don't we say what the Word of God says? That's in there for a reason. So I don't care what's going on in our lives. All is well. I'm talking about everybody in the room. All is well. Do you believe God has it in control or do you not? Some of you don't act like it. You know, I was thinking, you know, the Christians are going through an awful lot right now. And I don't even ask God what's going on in my life. I just thank him because he wrote the book. And he knows, he knew these pages were in the book and he didn't tear them out. If you think about Paul, Paul was mightily called of God. How do you think he felt the night he had to be put in a basket and lowered over the wall so they wouldn't capture him and kill him? It's his word. But here's Paul, a famous apostle of God's, had to get in a basket at night and sneak away from his enemies. David had to hide in a cave from his enemies. Still serving the same God that we serve. So why are we all upset when we have to do things like that just to hide ourselves from the enemy? You know, we apply the blood of Jesus, right? Paul could apply the blood of Jesus, and I'm quite sure he did. But the body of Christ has it all messed up. And I don't know about you, but every day I have to unmess it. Really and truly, with the things that come into your life on a daily basis, don't you have to think about what's written in the Word and then make your life change for the way, for what the Word is saying? So we aren't some weird people who are in sin. We are just God's called and anointed children who are being attacked by the enemy on a daily basis. And if you aren't, thank God that you're not really deep in the Word. Because the enemy is only attacking those who are a threat to him. Uh-oh, maybe some of you need to start being a threat. Amen? Maybe some of you ought to get out there on the front line and start doing warfare for the lost and dying. I want you to really think about these things. Because I'm sorry, guys. I don't care if people like what I say or not. It's the truth. And God is on his throne. And he is doing what he wants to do. Well, I have a message, but you know how it goes. If you turn your computer on at the last minute, something always comes up there that you have to help give. I got two at the front page. I must be going to be long-winded here. Let's just read this. You have that? Yeah, there you go. I didn't write down who sent this. Qualified by him. He said, this was a man, a prophet. For as long as I can remember, the Lord has told me that we can expect to be used by him. He's been telling you that. If that is our desire and we are willing to obey his voice, this is very, very, very important. If you don't obey God, he's not going to use you. You have to obey him in every area of your life, period. I have, and this young man said, I have found this to be true. God doesn't look for qualified people. He looks for willing people who will yield themselves to him. We are qualified by him. I'm going to bring up Barbara here again. At first, she was not willing. She finally had to give in and say, all right, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And then he qualified her to do what he wanted her to do. I use her because she doesn't care what I say, right? All right, 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. I don't care who you are, what you're doing, your sufficiency comes from God. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. You are not that big, mighty giant that you think you are. If you are not serving God and you are not in God, everything you do is of the flesh, and it's going to die. Then he goes on to say, align with those of like vision. Another important word which God has been highlighting is that we should be acutely aware of those to whom we join ourselves. He's been telling us that. In other words, if you're called to soar with eagles, quit hanging around with turkeys. Join yourself to those who are excited to hear about how God has used you and encouraged you in your walk and destiny. Why do you want to say you're walking with God and you're out there walking with all the whoremongers in the world? Or all the unsaved, you know, all the dark people. Why would you want to do that? He goes on to say, I am hearing many prophetic words right now about aligning yourself with those who share your vision. This is important. Fellowship with those who build you up in the faith. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:11. If you hang around with those of like mind, it says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. Then he says, qualified by him. For as long as I can remember, the Lord has told me that we expect to be used by him. Is that right? You expect to be used by him. If that is our desire and we are willing to obey his voice, I have found this to be true. God doesn't look for qualified people. Is that what I just read that, didn't I? I'm sorry. All right, dream of the doors. Now, I thought this was interesting. Recently, in the midst of praying for those who have been asking me if and when I see the Lord moving them out into their purpose, I had this dream. Now, see, how many of you have said, God, when are you going to do this? When are you going to use me? When are you going to move me forward? Well, this is what he saw. I was walking with a friend into a massive building. We walked through three. Now, listen to what he says. We walked through three sets of blue double doors. Each time we walked through a set of doors, there were people who wanted to come with us to watch what we were doing, but were prevented from coming because the doors closed behind them, or behind us. God once said, nobody is going to ride on our coattails. They're going to have to do their work for their self to go forth and do the things God's calling us to do. He said, as we went through the third set of doors, we found ourselves facing a field about four times the size of a football field. It was like a giant, muddy battlefield, where surely you would get extremely dirty if you went into it. There were about 100 people walking around with purpose, whom I did not recognize. They all had vehicles that were built tough for off-road action, with large tires and big engines. Nothing fancy, but fully equipped to do the job. He said there were about 100 people walking around with purpose. A lot of people come into the house of God with no purpose. I watched as they all moved their vehicles side by side to surround the field of conflict. As I began to see it for what it was, this was not a game, and that was why no spectators had been allowed to come in with us to watch. Only those who were willing to do the Father's will were able to enter in. Let's just stop there. You ever want, is that why you can't go into the third heaven? Because you're really just there to watch, just there to see what's going on up there? Or are you wanting into the third heaven so you can learn third heaven secrets so you can do the mighty works that God's called you forth to do? You know, as a spectator, you say, oh, I went to the third heaven. This is what I saw. God doesn't want you. He wants you up in the third heaven so he can teach you to do warfare and send you back to do it. All right, then he said, to the nameless and faceless, the Lord showed me that this was third heaven warfare. See that? The Lord showed me this was third heaven warfare, hence the three sets of doors. Where the Lord was using these nameless and faceless people who were willing to get dirty and do whatever it took, aligning themselves with other nameless and faceless warriors of the cross. Their vehicles were their ministries, not something pretty and shiny, but built tough for the job at hand. There was real power that was being displayed, but those who were involved were pointing to the Lord and giving him all glory. Let's get back up there. He said, whatever it took, aligning themselves with other nameless and faceless warriors. If you're wanting to rub elbows with the elite, then you're not being used of God. If you only wanted to be the, okay, when I first was in the ministry and went to pastor's meeting, they say, how many people do you have in your church? How often do you have you gone out and rode? And I found out I had five people and hadn't gone out and rode at all. They didn't talk to me the rest of the meeting. They went around and rubbed elbows with other big ministries. That was not God. And if that's what you want, then you, God's not going to use you either. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. What does this mean? It means for those of you who have a desire, those of you who are interceding, those of you who are praying, those of you who are looking for your destiny in Christ to be fulfilled, continue in your faithfulness, keep praying and interceding, because the Lord is aligning those of you with vision to be used now. And then he said 2 Timothy 4:2. Is there another page? He just says, stay ready. Is that the end? So there you go. That's why God wants you in the third heaven. There's warfare that you need to learn about. And I'm hearing God saying there's principalities and powers in the air that you have not, that are aligned against you, that you not, have not even encountered yet. And he's saying unless you go to the third heaven, you're not going to be able to defeat those, the adversary that's aligned against you. Come on. This is a constant desire to be in the third heaven. This is a constant, I'm hearing God say, this is a constant conflict to keep you out of the third heaven. The enemy does not want you to go there and abide there because he said if you even go there, he's in trouble. But if you abide there, then you have him totally in it completely. You're going to have to just lay down your life. You're going to have to quit pretending to be working for God. And you're going to have to be totally and completely committed to God. All right? I haven't prayed yet, have I? Because now we're finished with that. Now we're going to go into the teaching. Father God, I truly do thank you and I praise you and I give you honor and honor. Father God, this is such an important thing that we found out tonight. We understand, Father God, the depth of the glory that we'll step into if we just work to go into the third heaven and be aligned with your word, your perfect word, to bring us forth as true warriors of the cross. And Father, you know each and every heart in here this night. I'm asking you, Father God, to deal with the hearts that are totally, completely committed to you, Father. Bring them up into the third heaven. You can bring us up there, Father. and teach us the true warfare in this hour. And Father God, I thank you that you're here tonight. I thank you that your Holy Spirit is here in all of his glory tonight, that Jesus, your Son, is ever interceding. The holy angels are here doing the works you've told them to come and do. And we just thank you. And we just praise you, Father God, and we give you all honor and all glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I was getting ready to do communion this morning, and God said, don't get no bread, don't get no drink. So I sat down and I put my head in my hands to pray, and I started weeping uncontrollably. Then I heard me saying the words that we say to do communion. And God said, I didn't want you to pick up anything physical. Mm-hmm. I wanted you to see it spiritually in your mind so that you would never forget the blood of my Son or the atonement he did on the cross. So you see, I still did communion without eating of the bread or drinking of the wine because God wanted to do it a different way. And you know, how faithful are you being at doing your communion? Are you really giving God the glory? Are you really taking time to do it for him? How many of us have forgotten to do it in the morning and so we do it in the evening or later on in the day? You know, how committed are you to doing communion with the Father? I'm telling you, he's starting to show me great things each day as I do communion. And he wants to show each one of you. I'm quite sure he showed you other people too great things. He's given you secrets of his heavenly realm. See, this is where this young man said here that you have to be obedient for God to use you. Are you being obedient doing communion? If you're being disobedient, and God spoke to you and said for 32 days, do communion. If you're not doing it, then you're in disobedience, and don't expect God to bless you. He doesn't bless disobedience. He blesses obedience. And if I step on some of your toes, that's okay. Go to God and ask forgiveness. Maybe start another 32-day one. No. But you need to go and repent and tell God you're so sorry that you didn't honor him and what he requested you to do. And then be faithful to do your communion. There's a reason why God asked us to do this. He doesn't just speak to speak. He has a purpose in everything he says. All right. Court is in session. You know, I was telling somebody tonight, I said, you know, I've been reading the Bible, studying the Bible for 40 years. You know, I've always read it, but then I started studying when I became, opened up the church. And I've often read over God's courtroom. And you know, that never meant a thing to me. I just read it and went on. But now, every place I look, it talks about the court in the Word. See, now is a time that God wants to bring this forth in all of its magnitude. The courts are very, very important in our walk with God from now on. And that's why he said trying to get you men to write these books a while back, and you didn't, because he wanted you to write them then so they would be on display now. And now's when he's bringing it out. Are you being faithful to God? Are you writing your books? Whoever it is supposed to be writing books, are you writing the books, especially the courtroom books? There's so much God wants to do, but it's all in his court. And we need to start using the Word like he told us to when we go to prayer and use the courtroom. Aren't you sick and tired of the devil going through the courtroom all the time? Praying himself back and forth before God? Getting what he wants, torment us for a season. Why do you think he's doing that? Maybe it's because we didn't go to the courtroom first, right? We did not have our case all typed up and all ready to go. But the devil, he has his case all ready to go. And he knows exactly what he can say and get away with in the courtrooms. And he uses it. All right? Luke 18 verse 1 says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to illustrate their need for constant prayer and to show them that they must keep praying until the answer comes. Did you hear that? Then this is what he said. There was a city judge a very godless man who had great contempt for everyone. A widow of that city came to him frequently to appeal for justice against a man who had harmed her. The judge ignored her for a while, but eventually she got on his nerves. I fear neither God nor man, he said to himself, but this woman bothers me. I'm going to see that she gets justice, for she is wearing me out with her constant coming. See that? Then the Lord said, if even an evil judge can be worn down like that, don't you think that God will surely give justice to his people who plead with him day and night? This is Jesus saying that. Yes, he will answer them quickly, but the question is, when I, the Messiah, return, how many will I find who have faith and are praying? He's saying, you know, this unjust man, he gave this woman what she wants. Do you think I won't do that for my people that I love? God is calling us to pass through the open door into the courts of heaven. Court is in session. And God's telling me to tell you, it's going to stay in session. You have to go to the courts in order to get your answers to what you're praying for. He says, come, what did God call it? The court of last appeals? He taught us about that. So he's trying to get us to use his word to help us to get answers to our prayers. This is what God said. There is an open door before my people in this hour. And if they will come before me day and night, I will execute justice on their behalf. For I am a righteous judge who is full of grace and mercy. So he said, if you come before him day and night, not just a half minute, not just a half hour, but he said, if you come before him day and night. And last night I was praying about something, and God said, how serious are you to get this answer? What are you willing to give me to get your answer? And I stopped and thought, and I knew what I would give, but I hadn't given it yet. And I talked to God about it, and then you really don't want your answer yet either. When you're willing to give me your all, then I will give you my all, and I will answer your prayer. It wasn't nothing about my health either, all right? So I just passed that on to you. How serious are you? All right, then let's look again at Luke 18, verse 7 and 8. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? God's bearing long with some of us. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? We need to understand that our faith has been increasing as we've been going through the storms, right? And this is a promise from our righteous judge. He will defend, protect, and avenge his chosen ones speedily. That's a promise from God, not a promise from me. All right, the way over the threshold in Romans 12:9. This is the way you get into God's courts. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. This is what you have to be able to go into the courts of heaven and take your appeal before God. He doesn't want you going in there just like some of the courts out here do, not having everything together. You're half saved and the other half is unsaved. God wants you diligently following him with all your heart. And then when you take your case to court, the enemy has no loopholes. God just told me, that's what I told you. Okay? So if you go in there in the right frame of mind, in the right stature, and you walk with God, like God just said, the enemy has no loopholes, and God will give you what you should have. All right, God is saying the way over the threshold of this door that is standing up before you is in the posture of continual prayer, worship, hope, and steadfastness, even in the midst of suffering. This is why we say all is well. We know that we're being steadfast in the midst of whatever's going on in our life. And we know that God is in total and complete control. I would just soon you send her upstairs to sleep as to sit there like that. And I don't want to catch it again. Make sure you're not sleeping next time you come to church. God is more important than whatever kept you up last night. All right, court is in session. God has taken the judge's stand, ready to hear our cases. He is in his royal robes and has his gavel in his right hand, which has the word justice written upon it. God is waiting on us to come into the court and state our case. Instead, we moan and groan and whine and carry on like a bunch of fools and expect God to... God, no judge down here could do anything with what you would present, and God can't either. God is here to hear our cases and avenge justice. Prayer has always been the key to seeing the hand of God move. The prophets have been declaring that during the next 3 months, prayer is especially key to releasing the things that God is wanting to release. And the prayer of agreement is even more powerful with families, with congregations, with all who will gather. God is seated at the mercy seat, ready to hear and answer the prayers of his people for individuals, families, and nations. So if there's two of you living anywhere in a house, by George, get together and agree. You don't need a bathroom and the other be in a bedroom and each praying separately. Get together in agreement. See, Grace, she has to just agree with God because she lives alone. And she said, okay, God, you and I come together in agreement here because this is my case. Are you understanding this? But then if you live with a bunch of heathens and you're the only saved one, then it's you and God again. All right? Because you can't ask a heathen to agree with you because that doesn't work. You know, you're not equally yoked. All right, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. All right, so, you know, my foot decided it's going to act up again. So Brother Allen went to prayer for me, and he could not pray what he wanted to pray. God gave him the words to pray for my foot. All right. And he knew that that thing was being taken care of after he finished praying. And he did the right thing, too. When you go into prayer and you ask God, God, you pray through me, the right prayers we prayed every time. Instead of you want to pray what you think needs to be happening. Boy, what I think needs to be happening, what God thinks to be happening, is two different things. How about you? You know, we need to get the same wavelength here. Lord, he says, come on over. Because he's not coming to my wavelength. You know what I'm saying there? You know, he just said that. Isn't that neat? I have to remember that. All right, the righteous judge. Psalm 9, verse 7. But the Lord shall endure forever. He's not going to drop off the face of the earth. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. He is a righteous judge. Psalm 9, 7 through 10. So don't, no excuses. The woman in Luke 18 stood day after day before an unrighteous judge who had no compassion for her plight. Yet, as he tired of hearing her daily pleading for mercy, he granted her request for protection and justice. That's what she wanted. In order to stop her from bothering him any further, he was tired of hearing her. And I really believe if we would get before the throne of grace, God would get tired of hearing us too. Do you ever think that maybe sometimes God just seeing how serious you really are with your prayer life? How much do you really want to get the answer to it? It's really nice not to have God answer it because then you can complain. You know? But when he answers your prayer, then you have nothing to complain about. Then you just lost all leg. You can't stand on nothing. All right. We, on the other hand, stand day after day before a righteous judge who will never forsake us nor grow weary of our asking. The Bible said, seek and ye shall find. Seek. Do you ever see anybody play hide-and-go-seek? You have to find that person, right? And so God wants you to find him in your prayer closet and stay there until he gives you your answer. Though we often do not understand God's ways, for they are not our ways, we can trust that he will keep his promise to us to be a refuge and stronghold for his chosen ones. I wish everybody in the body of Christ could grasp hold of that. Don't you? I don't care what's going on in your life. God's in control, so why do we get so upset and get out of control? I mean, I really rant and rave lately, but you know, and bottom line is, God, you're in control. You know, we can make all of our, you know, dumb plans we want to plan. We can say all the dumb words we want to say, but you know, if you're really following God, you'll just shut up and say, God, you're in control. Grin and bear, grit your teeth and move on. Right? I wish it was that easy. You know, so you ever get awake, ladies, at night and you're gritting your teeth? I got awake a couple nights in a row, and I was gritting my teeth hard, my gums were sore. I said, well, I must still be carrying this stuff to bed with me, you know, because you're not relaxed if you're doing that, right? So then I have to repent. Isn't it a mess how the devil makes you keep repenting and repenting and repenting? While we wouldn't give in to his wiles, we wouldn't have to repent, but we'd be kicking him around, wouldn't we? Think about that. Though we often do not understand God's ways, we read that, didn't we? I am thankful that God is not only a righteous judge, but also a wise one. I'm sorry, guys, but we are really dumb sheep. Read about sheep. Sheep are dumb. And you need somebody very, very wise to lead you. Don't you sometimes, when you do something dumb, something, just want to wish you could kick your own self? Now, how could you be so stupid, you say to yourself. At least that's what I say. Yeah. You know, raising my two boys, you know, they can really push my wrong buttons. And then sometimes I react, and later I said, why did I react? Why did I do that? I just like to push myself all over the room. Why do we let the enemy do that, right? All right. It has been God's wisdom that he has not answered us in the ways or the time we would want to be answered. See that? In his wisdom, he has allowed many of his people to be tested and purged of anything that would cause them to compromise his truth or to lose their faith in times of trouble. Therefore, in his righteousness and wisdom, sometimes he delays a temporary answer to keep us from a fatal falling in the future. I can guarantee you that is the truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you, God. Sometimes in your prayers are not answered because you are not ready to receive the answer, and you'll act really stupid. You'll say and do things you wish you later on you wouldn't do or said. So just know that God, trust God, knowing he knows all things. And just quit trying to get him to do something that he doesn't want to do yet. Just like we was talking about the courtrooms. 40 years ago was not the time for the courtrooms. But God was lining everything up so that he could use the courtrooms right now. So what is it in your life that you wanted God to do 6 months ago? Excuse me, but God did not do it 6 months ago, and he probably hasn't even done it now. It's because you're still not ready to receive what God wants to show you. I'm hearing God say some of them would act really stupid. Oh, I'm so glad I'm not God. Amen. I'd be under the jail by now if I was God. Because I can really think stupid things that I would like to do, wouldn't you? But God, we have to finally say, it's up to you, God. Always has been, always will be. Let's read 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions. See that? He said, don't be like others. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew he was getting ready to die. He's saying to Timothy, I think it was Timothy, you know, you be an evangelist, do what you're supposed to be doing. Don't be concerned about what's going on with me. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. See that? Paul didn't have no qualms saying that because it was the truth. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. You know, he says that the righteous judge will give to me on that day. This judge thing's been in the Bible all along. We just haven't seen it. You know, God has opened up our spiritual eyes to the truth. And you guys are supposed to be writing about the courtrooms of heaven. If you're not, I just think you're lazy. Because people out there need to hear that like me, you know. When they read the Bible, don't see it. But when God opens up all that revelation to you, he expects you then to share it with the world. Strengthening the weak links. This has been a time in the body of Christ for us to look at the weaknesses that are keeping us from being entrusted with greater authority and facing bigger giants. Now, everybody here can say amen to that. In the days to come, God doesn't want us destroyed by the weak areas in our lives. See that? It is in his wisdom that he has allowed us some suffering for the sake of strengthening the weak links. Some? We had more than some, right? I don't know if I wrote it down, but right there I went and read Job all over again. And I wasn't happy with anything I read. You know, I know what happened in the end, but come on now. You know, this stuff in between you is a mess, isn't it? Now is the time to go before the Lord with the weak areas and allow him, by his grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, to strengthen these areas. Trying to raise Gabriel at the age of 14, going on 15, I feel very inadequate at times. You know, and I think, God, you're going to help me here because I'm not in his head and I'm no longer 14 and 15. And I don't know what these kids are really going through. And I don't want to destroy him in the process of his growing up. And I am weak in that area of trying to instruct him in the ways that he should be going. And I'm admitting that. And I ask God every day, give me strength and wisdom. He's a precious child of God, and he's very intelligent, and, you know, he could be very easily destroyed. Well, I could, too. We all could be. We all have to watch how we do with each other, and because there's everybody in this room has the ability to destroy somebody because you don't understand what they're going through. All right, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Oh, wow, look at this. I didn't write this. Did you write this? And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You know, God told us he was trying to build character in us. Didn't he tell us that a while back? How many of us learned it quickly? I don't think we did, because God had to deal with us about that for a while, didn't he? Yeah, come on. See, so everything you go through is for a purpose. We just have to understand the purpose. Maybe we don't stay before God long enough to find out what the purpose is, right? And sometimes I do believe that some of us, we chastise ourselves too hard. That it's not really something we're doing, but it's still something that, you know, God wants to perfect within us. The thankful heart, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This one verse explains why we can be thankful even before we see our answer. And that is true. It is because of faith that we know that our righteous judge will help us, and therefore we can approach him with thanksgiving. He even knows what we need before we ask, although he does not tire of our asking. You know, we all have parents who are growing old, and, you know, and we don't understand why they're going through what they're going through, but God does. And, you know, we bawl and squall and carry on when we think that we're going to lose them. But, you know, with my mother, I said, God, I love her. I don't want to lose her, but I know what's best for her and what's going to meet her down the road if I keep praying her alive. And so I went to my mother and I said, Mom, I said, if you want to die, go ahead. She said, are you sure? I said, yeah, Mom, I don't want to lose you, but I don't know what lays down the road for you. So you go ahead. And she said, thank you. And she died just like that. So my prayers were keeping her alive. You know, I kept saying, God, please don't take my mother. I love her. I can't live without her. You see this? So we have to let go of our loved ones, you know. It's selfishness that keeps them here. Pure selfishness. And then after 3 years, God said, well, you going to die with your mother? You have to let go of her now. So I had to let go of her after 3 years. So I'm telling you, let go of them now. Whenever you let go of them, give them to God. You let go of them in your heart to you. That doesn't mean you don't love them. No way. But don't die with them, because that's what I was doing, grieving myself to pieces. All right, just as we know by faith, I don't know why I said that, but there, that's a little tidbit, right? Just as we know by faith that he created the world, that we also know by faith that God can move any mountain that stands in our way. How many of you lately say, God, that mountain's still standing? And I said, is there something I can do to help you move it? I mean, serious. You know, I talked to God, and you know, because I want to know why that mountain's still standing there. You know, if you speak to the mountain, it'd be thrown into the sea, right? It's still there. Yeah, maybe it's because we don't live close to the sea. No, that's not true. God knows when he's going to remove it, right? Colossians says, 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life, God wants to rule and reign in peace and be thankful for everything, bad, good, or indifferent. Because of faith, we can let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. And because of the peace of Christ and his rule in our hearts, we can be thankful. We really can. We just decide not to be. It's just what our decisions. You can worry yourself to death, fret yourself to death, do you want to death, but in the long run, whatever, when God's ready, he's going to remove that mountain. He's going to change the situations in your life. You just have to let go of control, you little Jezebel. Really. You still want to control and manipulate. And you're still trying to control and manipulate God. And you're not going to do that. I wasn't really calling anybody Jezebel. But that's what it is. It's a controlling, manipulating spirit. And that's Jezebel, right? And you're trying to control God. It just doesn't work. I did write down what I read by Job. Let's go through this, because y'all need to go review this, all right? You really do, because I say so. All right. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Now where were they at? They were in the courtroom, weren't they, Aaron? They came before God, right? Just agree with me right now. Thank you. All right. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? And so Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. All right. He didn't say, you know, he just was walking back and forth. Now watch our wonderful Father. Okay. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? So Job was saying, no, I didn't think about him because you have him all walled in. Let's read this. Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? Have you have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Job said, I hadn't even thought about him because you have him all walled in. He's under your protection. I can't touch him. See that? See how much he loves us, because we all went through going through Job experience, right? See how much he loves you? Then why don't you act like he does and say, oh, well, I'm really loved by him. And he knows how strong I am. So therefore, he allows Satan to test me. All right. And Satan goes on to say to God, but now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. See, this is the first time God said, have you considered? So here he couldn't even make him sick. Right? Isn't that what it says? He said, don't lay your hand on his person. Now let's go to Job 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Everybody knows sons of God are the angels, right? And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Here we go again. That there is none. I really thought maybe they just copied what they said. I didn't realize it was a second testing when I first read this years ago. Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity? There's his integrity. Although you incited me against him, see what God said? You got me upset, so I just gave you Job. Isn't that what he's just saying there? Although you incited me against him, right, to destroy him without cause. See that? So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. You can do anything you want to him physically, but you cannot kill him. And how many of us know that that's exactly what happened in our Job experience? Satan can't kill you. He threatened to do that to me, but because God told me one time he could, and I just threw that up in his face many times, I'll bet he went before God, no, I don't bet, many, many, many times asking for me after the way I've gotten for his face. He said, I'll show you. How many times has he come and tested you? How many times has God said, have you considered Barbara? God, I don't know why all this is going on in my life, she says. Yeah, she acted like that, didn't you? Yeah. Bald and squalled and carried on. It was because God just knew she wouldn't give in. And God had so much love for her. So he said, okay, this is a strong tower. I'll throw her at you this time. You see how he does this? See, if you really look at how much God loves you and why he allows you to go through what you go through, you'll get excited. All right? Well, some of you won't, I guess. But anyhow, you'll get excited knowing how special you are. You know, each one of you in here have been going through a really hard trial. Juan and your wife, you've been going through a hard trial in your marriage. Why? Because God loves you, and he told Satan to go ahead and test your marriage because he knows you're not going to give up on your marriage. I just didn't lie, did I? You know. Do you understand this? You know, it's not that God doesn't love you. He's just showing Satan you're strong and you're not going to give in. That you're going to fight and you're going to keep this marriage together and be a testimony for the world. I got the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit all over you? I think I need a jacket. Okay, now here. I need to quit, don't I? We need to go home before I get myself in trouble. All right, we know that there is an open door into the courts of heaven, all right? And that our righteous judge is executing justice on behalf of his people. We need to go through the door with faith and a thankful heart. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Did y'all learn anything tonight?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I saw some of you come in here sitting here real, real stern, like, and right now your faces are full of smiles. You know, I see your little white teeth, and you know, I think that's wonderful because you were set free, believe it or not. Something in your life was set free tonight. Sometimes I sit at home and say, God, I shouldn't even be a pastor no more. I really do. But you know what? Until God sets me down, I guess I'll have to sit here. No, I don't guess. I will sit here because that's what I desire. But what I really, truly do desire is that each and every one of you understand tonight that God has the courts opened, and he's waiting to hear your cases. Because this is the time, they say, in the last 3 months, the next 3 months is where God wants to give us every desire of our heart. Everything he's promised us to pour it out upon us. Okay. You know, and if we can't believe that God loves us and he's there for us, we can't receive anything from God. Nothing. And God's ready to execute judgment in your cases. Are you ready to really have him do that and accept whatever he comes up with? Because we know that everything that God comes up with is exactly what needs to be happening in your life right now. All right. And Barbara, you just, that's why God's picking on you, not against. You need to understand, little one, that I am with you and I am for you, not against you, and you know that. But I want you to know right now that in the days ahead, the enemy has another plan for you to test and try you. But because you've come this far, little one, you will go further. So stand your ground at all costs. Do not compromise in any way. Allow me to be your father. Allow me to be your judge. And allow me to be your executioner too. For I will free you from the wiles of the enemy. What he wants to do with you, he will not be able to do. Because I've already set the case. I've already delivered my answer. And he can't have you. Be of good cheer and know that I'm with you. I'm also hearing God say, because you're alone, and you too, Grace, because you're alone and have no one to hold your hand, the enemy thinks he can wear you both down. But you will prove to him that he can't wear you down, either one of you, that you're going to stand your ground at all cost, because your hand is in the hand of the Father. And both of you know without a shadow of a doubt that God is for you, not against you. Okay? Alan, the young lady back there in the green sweater, I think it is. God wants to give her a word right now, please. I know the word says that God is the judge. But there's between Grace and Barbara, this is for the both of you. Here on this earth, God is going to use people to judge. And he's going to use you to, you know, you're going to be in contact with people that other people haven't yet contacted. And as you minister to them, God's going to give you judgments for them. In other words, you're either going to tell them they're saved or they're not saved. And some are going to tell you, well, they've been in church and they're saved. And God's going to give both of you words to say to them through the Spirit that they are not saved, no matter how long they've been in church. And they need this judgment being brought down on them now before it's too late. All right. And you know, that doesn't go, that doesn't say that everybody go up around and say, you know, I don't care how long you've been in church, you're not saved. Excuse me, you can only do that when the Holy Spirit moves upon you. And you'll find yourself saying those things without even, they'll just come. And too many people nowadays just were like me when I first was saved. If you didn't want to serve God, fine, just go to hell. I mean, that was my attitude, and you all know that. And God took me to hell to show me I don't mean that. But on this earth right now, that is going on a lot. People just don't like somebody. And they aren't giving them the chance to for God to minister to them and clean them up, and they're just judging them. Say whether you have no chance, you just might as well walk away. You're going to hell. And there are some people like that, and we know them. So those God's already judged you. They're already done, and God's already told you they're done. Okay, so you don't have to say anything to them. Just let God walk that thing out in their life. All right. And so we have to be very careful in this area. We have to understand that God is the righteous judge. And unless God tells you something, then you really need to keep it to yourself. But when the Spirit of God moves upon you, you really can't keep it to yourself. It just pops out. I had something in my heart for years and never, you know, just left it alone. And then it started coming to me really strong. And I thought, I don't want to say that. I really don't want to say that. But finally it popped out. And then I said, now I got to deal with that. You know, so, and God was in it, so it turned out fine. But what you need to understand is if God's in it, you won't have any trouble because God will deal with it.